Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear. Welcome. Glad to have you with us today. We are going to be taking a look at a new study this week. We're going through and we'll be looking at an overview of the Gospel of Mark. This is a new series that we're doing as we look at an overview of this whole book of the Bible. And as we focus, we're going to look at one of the Gospels in the New Testament. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest Gospel in the New Testament, but there are some very unique features for this Gospel. Joining me today to go over this overview of the Gospel of Mark is Pastor Neil Radical. Welcome and glad to have you with us today, Neil.
Glad to be here, Nathaniel. Thanks for having me.
This is a pretty neat Gospel. Although in our scriptures we have what we call four Gospels, can you give our listeners just a little bit of background as to why God would have recorded four different people to basically write the same story down? Why do we need four Gospels?
It's an awesome question, and the way I typically answer that is by asking a question. If you were on trial, how many witnesses would you like, Nathaniel? Would you like to have one or four?
As many as possible.
Exactly. And I think the same thing is true. The Lord gives us witnesses on purpose because he wants to show that his word is proof, you know, and his word is accurate. And so I look at the four Gospels as four different writers under divine inspiration. We talked about that in previous podcasts, in order to give us the best and full account from different perspectives, but all united together in the same thought and the same, not contradicting each other, of the life and times of Jesus. And so the idea of the four Gospels is to point us to the life of Christ and his, specifically in his ministry, because the majority of it is in his last 3 years of his life.
So the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels, and sometimes we talk about the Gospels, we talk about Matthew, Mark, and Luke as being what we call the synoptic Gospels. They're a little bit different than the Gospel of John. Can you tell us a little bit about what that term synoptic means and what sets Matthew, Mark, and Luke apart from the Gospel of John?
Sure. Synoptic is, you know, you think of other words that begin with that S-Y-N prefix, based off the Greek idea, is that synoptic, like syncopated or symphony. I like that one example as well, because you think of symphony and you think of a harmony of instruments. So that's why sometimes the Bible is referred to as the harmony of the Gospels, because they all fit together in a beautiful way. Like if you had four voices singing a great Lutheran hymn, you have a harmony of those voices. And so you have the different parts, but they all fit together in one musical song. So you look at the Gospel, now we have the song of salvation, as was prophesied by Isaiah, and you have the harmony of the four Gospels, each having their part in a different approach to it. And so you have like Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they all have their different elements. The synoptic Gospels, the three, were written about the same time. John was written later on, and John was looking at those three writings about the life and times of Jesus, and he was supplementing those things. So the harmony of the Gospels is the first three that we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those are focusing on specific things that are laid out before you. And you've mentioned before in a different podcast how they all have their different elements and structures to them, between Matthew and Luke being the doctor, and Mark, which we'll talk a little bit more in depth here in just a second. And you have John also supplementing that with what he wanted to show about, under the inspiration of God, about Jesus and how he lived. So the synoptic is referring to those three and how they harmonize and giving a testimony, a true witness about this man, Jesus, who was prophesied as the coming Messiah and who lived as the Christ, the anointed one of God, take away the sins of the world.
So the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, were written earlier. John is written later. Since those three are kind of put into one category together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what would you say separates or maybe distinguishes Mark from Matthew and from Luke. Can you give us maybe some distinguishing features of the Gospel of Mark that sets it apart from the other two?
Sure. What's interesting, if you read through the Gospel of Mark, you don't notice there, what I love about all the writers of the Gospels is that they're extremely humble because they understand where the writing's coming from by divine inspiration. So you don't see the reference to Mark referring to himself at all. But what makes the Gospel of Mark unique is that he was summarizing the preaching of Peter. This is referenced in later on in Acts 12. It actually refers to him in other sections as John Mark. But then you have the Gospel of Mark here, which as he's a companion of Paul, he had was been listening to Peter's sermons, and some have believed, Justin Martyr around 150 AD quotes Mark 3:17 as from Peter's memoirs. So in other words, Mark is writing what he learned from Peter. He's summarizing the letters or the preaching that Peter done about walking with Jesus. And so what's fascinating about Mark, what makes it different is that from the other gospels, is that it's written from a firsthand account of someone who walked with Jesus. So it's an eyewitness in the sense it's Peter's eyewitness in which Mark was summarizing what Peter was saying. We can know it's a divine authority because it fits in the harmony with the other two gospels. It matches what was said there. Peter walked with them just like John, just like Matthew, and so it's a part of the synoptic gospels in that way.
Mark is kind of an interesting character too, because he isn't mentioned at all in the Gospels by name. And yet, as you read in the book of Acts, as you mentioned, he does begin to take on a more important role
Dominant role, yeah.
in the history of the early New Testament church. And as you mentioned, he was along with the apostle Peter. And the early church fathers talk about how Mark recorded his gospel from the perspective of Peter. Can you tell us a little bit about Mark and what his role became in the early New Testament church?
Well, I think there's a lot of scholars that believe that Mark was one of the first gospel letters itself. And what's interesting is that many believe also that he wrote it in Rome about 65 to 70 AD. So this is like 20, 30 years after Jesus had died and risen again. And so, again, the idea of writing it to the Romans is interesting as you look at the structure of it. He leaves out some things that you would see more in Matthew and Luke. Some of those, the genealogy of Christ isn't in Mark. You have some of those fulfilled prophecies. He doesn't focus on that as much because if he's addressing it to the Roman Christians, they're not going to be as familiar with the Old Testament law. Whereas the writer of the Hebrews stresses all the Old Testament fulfillment and prophecies. So you see the differences there, which are both very important. He references the Old Testament law and the Jewish customs. He's not going to write about those because he's writing to the Roman Christians. So what's unique about Mark in that sense is that, he is writing to a specific group, but obviously he's emphasizing some very important parts about the gospel. In fact, that's one thing that's really unique about Mark is that he spends very little time getting to the passion account of Christ. It's just so fascinating. If you look at any books, I have a great book on all this from the Nelson's Complete Book of Biomaps and Charts. It really breaks it down to show that this Messiah, this Jesus Christ, had come to serve and to sacrifice. And I always try to find what's the main passage of each letter or gospel or book of the Bible. And in my opinion, the best passage of the book of Mark is in Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus' own words, he lays it all out there. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom, a payment for many." And the Greek there for many means a whole bunch of people, everybody. Jesus came to live and die for people. So the way Nelson's book breaks it down appropriately, in my opinion, it says that the book of Mark focuses on how Jesus came to serve and to sacrifice. And it's pretty evenly divided. It shows how he came as that suffering servant. He was came to heal people and came to bring them to health. And then his focus wasn't on that, which is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the messianic secret before. That was as a concept I didn't know until recently. I mean, I always had the question. I'm going to ask you, Nathaniel, even though you're kind of hosting this, I don't care right now. Why would Jesus, as we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, because he does it several times in the Gospel of Mark, why would he tell people to not say who he was? That doesn't make any sense. He's trying to promote, you know, the gospel of forgiveness. Why would he tell someone after he heals them, now don't go tell anybody that I healed you?
Yeah, that's a pretty neat thing in the and all. It's not just in Mark, but it's in the other Gospels too, that really that changes on Palm Sunday, when he rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and the people are cutting down palm branches and they're laying their coats on the ground, and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, completely different than anything that we've seen earlier on in his ministry. And the scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, tell everybody to shut up." And he says, "I tell you, if these were to be quiet, even the stones would cry out." And the point, I think, was, and the reason for that throughout the early part of the Gospels, was that the majority of people in Jesus' time had a misunderstanding of what the Messiah was. And if they were to go and say Jesus did this and he healed that person and he cleansed that person, it would only promote the incorrect view of who the Messiah
was. Right,
he
didn't want people to think he was just some miracle worker or just another prophet. He was the prophet that had come to display his power, yes, but his power to save, his power to forgive. You know, the healing of Lazarus, what did he focus on? Not Lazarus, I'm sorry. That was surely demonstrating his power over death as the true Son of God. But I was thinking more of the healing of the paralytic, where he focuses more on the man's sins, but then goes on to show he has authority to do that by healing the paralytic as well. So I think, again, a lot of times you see different scholars point to the fact that one of the reasons was maybe the fact that he didn't want to grow in such popularity that, you know, it brought hatred. You know, he had a very appointed time to fulfill. And so this growing of popularity, in fact, you see early on in Mark when he tells the man not to go and tell it, you know, he has to leave the city. He can't continue to preach the gospel there because the people overflowed him and just pressed him. So he had to leave. He couldn't continue on his word because he always healed everybody, but he couldn't continue on with his message versus his miracles. He always emphasized his message over his miracles.
Mark does emphasize the works of Jesus. I've always called Mark a gospel of action. And in a lot of ways, I think the gospel of Mark is probably the perfect gospel for the 21st century because it's so quick and fast-paced. Mark loves to use the word eotheos in the Greek, which is translated into English immediately. And immediately, you know, Mark doesn't mince any words. He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't use flowery language. He just moves from one subject to the next. It's kind of like watching TV today. You know, it's all these scenes changing so quickly. And while a lot of people with our modern minds, you might be get, you know, they might get tired or worn down by reading through all of the long, lengthy presentations of Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew or in the Gospel of John, anybody can focus on the simple and clear message that Mark brings out that proclaims Jesus, as you said, as the one who came not to serve or not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah, I love that you brought that point about the immediately, because I've done a study on that word too, and I love about that is if you compare that with the other gospels, Mark is, you know, alone almost has more uses of the word immediately than the rest of the other three. So I love
right.
that.
It's put together.
It's like that.
Yep.
It's like that fast-paced society. It's like I want to know it right now. It's the whole, you know, it's so cool. It's exciting. It's an exciting gospel. It shows that immediateness right away, that straight way this took place, if you're reading the King James Version.
Right. Yep. So when we talk about the Gospel of Mark, you mentioned that it was written by Mark to a Roman audience, so it was a non-Jewish audience, and that's one of the reasons why Mark doesn't include all of the details on the Jewish ceremonial laws. You know, even the words, one of the neat things about the Gospel of Mark is that if he uses a word that's Hebrew in origin, he will translate it so that the Roman audience that wouldn't know that word, they know. You know, it's like if you don't, just like I did earlier with the word eotheos, for our people that haven't studied Hebrew or the Greek, they're not going to know, what does that word mean? So you translate it for them, and Mark does that. But
Such as Jesus'
if,
words on the cross, correct?
right. But what would be the reason for a person to read through the Gospel of Mark now in the 21st century? What does Mark offer to us? What is his purpose back then? Does it still hold true for people today? And if so, what is that?
Absolutely. I think in an age where relationships are superficial and shallow, I think the thing about our Emmanuel, God with us, is that he's anything but that. He comes to serve us. You have the section there where he talks to the disciples about who is the greatest. In fact, that's where I pulled that verse from, that he tells the disciples he does not come had not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His focus wasn't on getting something out of us. His focus was to gift his life to us, to give us an eternal inheritance that can't be taken away. In an age where we're entitled, in an age where we are so self-centered and selfish about what we want it now, we want it immediately. Mark is such a beautiful section because it shows, or beautiful gospel because it shows that our Lord is immediately there in our time of need. He's not always going to answer us the way we want. He's going to answer us the way we need. And he certainly did that and demonstrated that in his life. That when he came to this world, he wasn't just about the miracles and the healings of people. He came to show us and help us with our greatest need. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. He talked to Mary and Martha. There's one thing needful. And that's what the Lord wants us to seek. That he has come to serve us, that he came to sacrifice himself for us, and to realize and enjoy and to be wrapped up in that kind of loving embrace of our Savior that will last forever to the believing Christian. That is why we read the Gospel of Mark. That's why we read the Word of God, because there's nothing else that comforts in the world in the face of death, in the face of greed, in the face of selfishness, in the face of disobedience to not only our earthly parents, but our Father in heaven. There's nothing that comforts like this good news, the gospel of Christ. And Mark does a fantastic job of showing our suffering servant and almost half of his gospel in those last 8 days of his life, the passion of our Savior. You cannot but help see the passion of our Lord's love for you and for me when you read through Mark.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing thing too when you take a look at the 16 chapters that we have in the Gospel of Mark, and almost 50% of his gospel deals with the last 7 days of Jesus' life. And what an emphasis. That demonstrates so clearly, and all the gospels are at least a third dealing with the last week, but Mark even more so, where he really wants to bring out that Jesus came to serve. And how does he give his life as a ransom for all? By going to the cross, where he dies for us and where he is raised again on the third day for our justification. What a beautiful message that, again, as sinners today, we still need to hear.
Just kind of one last thought that I had too. From time to time, often I will feel discouraged and down. And when you stop to think about what the Lord means for us, when you look at the Gospel of Mark, you see that we're to follow his example. I sometimes think, oh, woe is me, or I have the PMs, the poor me type of things. And it's just like, look, I'm not here to serve myself. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to serve my family. I'm here to serve those the Lord's put in my life. And the best way I can serve them is give them the comfort and confidence that they have a God who's with them. And it really puts it all in perspective. And Mark does such a great job of that. I love being able to study that and just be reinvigorated by that word and by discussions like this, Nathaniel. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that.
And I appreciate your time today too. What a joy it is to be able to sit down and go through and learn from each other as we study the Lord's Word and His plan of salvation for you and for me and for all people through the death of His Son and our Savior Jesus. Well, we hope that you will join us again. We'll be taking a look at more books of the Bible, the Gospels, some of the epistles, some of the books of the Old Testament. We hope that you'll join us in that and find these studies beneficial as well. May the Lord bless and keep you all as we have His promise.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that He will be with you always, even to the end of the world.